I'd like to read in Revelation 5, and the Lord willing, I trust that we will look at Revelation 6 this evening. Revelation chapter 5. One of the main reasons that these two chapters are for me is this, we have just finished a period of time of 40 days, and we call it Lent. And I noticed in our local paper that there are some groups of Protestants who say today is Easter, so their Lent season runs right up until today. Their calendar maybe might be a little different than ours, but we generally say that Easter is the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the days and nights are equal. I remember of learning that as a little fellow in school. And so I look at it as the last Lord's Day, as Easter. But I am very grateful for this, that with, as I'll put it this way, some of us see that we ought to have a holy week every week, and that on the first day of the week is Resurrection Day, and we gather together on resurrection ground. And we really are enjoying not only one season, as it were, a year, but 50 weeks out of the year. Now, I hope I haven't gone beyond what you are practicing or enjoying, but really, I believe that the Bible teaches that. But I do thank God that the Lord Jesus is before the eyes of the religious world and before the world at large, that we have such holidays, such as Christmas and Easter. I remember so well, it's a few years back, we had a preacher in Waynesboro, and he was rather outspoken. And on Easter morning, you know what he said after he preached his sermon and before he gave the benediction? He said, "I want to give you all goodbye now." He said, "We'll see a good many of you next Christmas, and the most of you we'll see next Easter." Well, I trust that isn't true of us. I can see that right here this morning by the goodly group that is out. The point that I have in mind is this, that quite often we get as far as the resurrection, and I was thankful this morning that we got as far as the 40 days. You see, he was here alive, and he proved himself to be alive by many infallible proofs after his resurrection, and it was for 40 days. He taught them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He went up into heaven. And I have often said, I don't know whether you have or not, and I heard many other people say, one thing about it, the Bible doesn't say so much about what's going on in heaven. Have you ever heard that? And I've even heard evangelists, and they have a measure of room for it, saying the Bible speaks a lot more of hell than it does of heaven. But bless your soul, if you look at the Revelation, you will find that it speaks a good bit of what is going up in heaven, going on up in heaven, right now, and what's going on, of course, somewhat in the future. And to give us a little more of a setting, the book of the Revelation, John was told to write the things that he saw. He was told to write the things that are, and he was told to write the things that are to come. So you see, there are three sections to the book of Revelation. And we believe that chapter 1, he saw the things that are. He saw the glorified Christ. And then we believe in chapters 2 and 3 that he saw the things that are in the sense of the church's history being very, very emphatically brought out from its beginning to end. And then the professing church is taken off of the scene, and John hears a voice saying, "Come up hither, come up to heaven." And I think it is very good for you and I to get in the Spirit too on the Lord's Day and occasionally make a trip to heaven to see what is going on up there, and then also of seeing some things to come. Huh? Well, I'm going to read the chapter now. And I saw, chapter 5, and I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the back side, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb, as it or he had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God, by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing, honor, glory, and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and for ever. Now, you see, we've been up in heaven for a whole chapter. It's the most remarkable thing that you don't read of glory to the Lamb till you get into Revelation chapter 5. I was at East Freedom last Lord's Day, and they had a most precious song service, and this was the subject, "Glory to the Lamb." And it was very effective, and I had the privilege of just saying a few words. They invited me into their program, and this is what has encouraged me to enter into the subject that is before me this morning. Glory to the Lamb. Do you know there are only, I guess, possibly two direct references to the Lamb in the Old Testament? Now, I know there are types and shadows, but actually I believe in Isaiah 53 is one of the only references to the Lamb in the Old Testament. And he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. There's a direct reference to him. Then I believe the Spirit of Christ was in Jeremiah in the 11th, I believe it's 11th chapter. I know it's either 11:19 or 19:11, but don't look for it now. I want to have your attention if I can. There he speaks, the Spirit of Christ being in him, I was as a lamb led to the slaughter. They devised devisings against me. And it goes on to say that they said they would cut down the tree and then the fruit wouldn't be produced. And I was cut off out of the land of the living. And I believe that possibly that is the only two direct references in the Old Testament to the Lamb. And do you know when you come into the Gospels, and I looked this up and I was just kind of astounded. I saw that there are only two direct references to the Lamb in the four Gospels. And they're both in one chapter. John chapter 1. You know, when John the Baptist was baptizing, Jesus came to be baptized. And when he saw him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And God revealed unto him that he was the Lamb, and upon him the Spirit of God should descend. And then down a little further in the chapter, we read these words that he and his disciples, that's John the Baptist and his disciples, they saw Jesus as he walked. Now that must have been a wonderful sight. To the man that is born a woman, there was none greater than John the Baptist, and there he had disciples, and they looked upon Jesus as he walked. And John exclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God." So effective was his ministry that his disciples left him and followed Jesus. I would to God that all of the disciples that would seek to identify themselves with me, I would hope that my ministry would be so effective that they would leave me and follow Jesus. John seemingly knew this, how his greatness would increase and his would decrease. So I sometimes say when my dear, dear Baptist friends tell me how they are increasing and the thousands that they are gathering together, I still say, well, their leader, John the Baptist, knew that he would decrease and all of his disciples would follow Jesus. And isn't that true? Now, I'm saying this, not saying any unkind thing about my dear brethren who preach Christ. And I know that there are many who do. But think of John the Baptist. Got his head cut off, even after his disciples left him and followed Jesus. He wasn't afraid at all, seemingly, of the article of death. But he's one whose heart was enamored and taken up with the glory of the Lamb. He must increase. I'm not worthy to even stoop down and unlatch or even to tie his shoes. And then when you come into the epistles, and I was astounded at this as I searched. One place that I know of in the church epistles that he's spoken of is the Lamb. And I know, I believe you'll all remember that. It's found in 1 Peter, and I'm not very far down in the first chapter. We are redeemed with not such corruptible things as silver or gold from the vain conversation of your fathers, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, a lamb without spot and without blemish. The only place that I know he's spoken of in the epistles. But oh, when you come to the Revelation, and he has been received up into heaven, how many times do you think he's spoken of as the Lamb in the Revelation? Huh? Well, you see, I looked it up. That's the only reason that I can maybe boast about it this morning. But if you look it up, I think you'll find 28 times he's spoken of as the Lamb. 4 times, at least, in the chapter that we read together this morning. Doesn't this thrill your heart and your soul? To think that that Lamb that was led to the slaughter, that Lamb seems to be all the glory in Emmanuel's land. In heaven, 28 times, and do you know, he's spoken of as the little lamb, freshly slain. The little lamb. Oh, I know we as men and women, we love to see a good, big, strong, husky fellow, don't we? And we would be taken up much more with the lion, possibly, than the lamb. I had the privilege of going through the lion safari down in southern Florida. And maybe possibly some of you had too, but I saw that big burly, the curly mane, you know. And I saw those jaws open up like that. And I saw teeth, I'll declare that they were that long. And my, he's the king of the forest. And you ought to see him walking around down there. And they say, keep in your car, keep in your car, don't get out of the car. But there's the lion. And that's what we generally like to behold, don't we? Something strong, something horrible, something that can subdue. But in the Revelation, the glory of the Lamb, he's a little lamb. Well, there's one sitting on the throne in verse 1 of our chapter. And he has in his hand written with on the inside and on the outside. And it's sealed with 7 seals. And I love to think of the one that's sitting on the throne. To find out a little more about him, you have to look at the 4th chapter, and there you have to take a trip, as it were, up into heaven to see him. Come up hither. And I believe that those words even carries the thought with it of the rapture of the church, to come up into heaven. John got it directly, and he was escorted, as it were, up into heaven. And then what did he see? Well, he saw an unforgettable throne. It was one of the first things that he saw. He says, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set up in heaven. Verse 2 of chapter 4. And one sat on that throne. I believe we could say he not only saw an unforgettable throne, but he had an unforgettable thrill. Because just look at that throne for a little bit and see just what it is. And the one that is sitting on it. in verse 3, the one that sat on that throne was to look upon like a jasper stone and a sardine stone. And we know of the jasper stone that it is brilliant as to light. And when you think of that, you cannot help but think of the very nature and character of God. These things write we unto you that your joy might be full. God is what? Light. I know we all know the verse that says God is love, but God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. Think of that one that is sitting on that throne. He's brilliant in light. And then what else is he? The next word says, and a sardine stone. And I understand, like a jasper stone, and like a sardine stone. And that sardine stone, I understand, is ruby red. And I love to think of the brilliant red, possibly that is expressed, of the one who is on the throne. Speaking of his redemptive glories that are connected with him. And on that throne is a rainbow, and that rainbow makes a complete circle. You and I have never seen a rainbow with a complete circle. We see it cut off in the middle. And this rainbow here is there just before the storm is going to take place in Revelation 6. If you look at the rainbow in Genesis, you will find that the rainbow is there after the storm. But here, the rainbow is put there before the storm. And I believe that even God, who is going to judge the world in power and might, he's the Almighty God, I believe that he's going to temper that judgment with mercy. And the rainbow speaks of mercy. He'll not destroy the world again by water. And he's going to show mercy in the midst of all the severity of his judgment. When he treads the winepress of the wrath of Almighty God. So, what a throne. And what a person that is sitting on that throne. And then, of course, you see those who are gathered around the throne, the 24 elders. And I have no doubt that the 24 elders, you find them both in the 4th and the 5th chapters. And I believe, without a doubt, that they are symbolic of all the redeemed of the Old Testament. There were 12 patriarchs in the Old Testament. And when you come into the New, there were 12 apostles. And I believe that these two groups put together would make 24, and it would signify all the redeemed of all ages. Oh, won't it be wonderful? Won't it be an unforgettable thrill when you are actually called up into heaven? It's a thrill to me now when I contemplate it. And to look upon these of all ages redeemed. And to think of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all of the redeemed there in the glory. And some who have been very close to you and I in nature's ties have been taken to glory. And we will see them. And we'll see how they worship there. And then you have these four living creatures. And I looked up the meaning of that word beast there. It's mentioned, I think, 6 or 8 times. And the word is zoon, Z-O-O-N. It means living creatures. And you will notice that they seem to signify or give a signal when worship is to take place. They seem to lead in it. And when they sort of signal to all the redeemed, they fall down and worship. And the remarkable thing, too, of all those redeemed, they have crowns on therein. Don't you like to have a mental picture in your mind of what's in heaven? And much of it is in heaven right now, but you're not there yet. You're one of the contemplators of it. And what you're doing down here now as a Christian, you're restraining the evil from fully developing down here. So it'll be a good day, a great day, when we all get to glory. And this is the throne, and this is the person that's sitting on the throne, and in his hand is a book. And I believe that in this book or scroll, it has to do with who is able. Not who is willing, but who is able to rule the world. If it was who is willing to rule the world, I imagine there'd be some Hitlers rise up pretty quick. Maybe somebody in Chambersburg would rise up and say they were willing. And I imagine that there would be even some in the underworld that would rise up, because the challenge goes out into heaven, earth, and under the earth. Who is able? And not one is found. Not even Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. Not Peter, James, or Paul. None are able. And then I suppose this is really the only place that you read of someone crying and weeping in heaven. There's no tears or sorrow or sickness or death. But here John, who leaned on Jesus' breast when he was down here, begins to weep, and I can see him sobbing, because no one was able to take the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And I suppose, without a doubt, heaven, earth, and hell was ransacked, and not a one was found able. But oh, what happens? One of the 24 elders, one of the redeemed ones, he must step down off of his throne, I guess, but he's got a throne too. And he says, John, weep not. I wonder if he might have just dried up some of those tears on John's face. And he says, John, weep not. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the book. And that's in verse 5. And he's the root of David. He has prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And oh, I can see John as he saw that big burly lion of the tribe of Judah, one with power and force. You know, that's what all Israel looked for. Why, they were sad in Luke 24 as they were walking to Emmaus. They were cast down and sad. They said, we thought he was one that would redeem Israel. Loose us from our oppression, our Roman oppression. Set us free from our slavery. And I can see John as he would look upon that lion. This is it. This is it now. We were fooled maybe back in the 24th of Luke, but now we've got the Lion, and he's the root and offspring of David. And lo and behold, when John looked, what did he see? What did he see? A lion was introduced to him, but when he looked, he only saw a little lamb. A meek and lowly lamb. A little lamb. Oh, but look at this little lamb. There he was. He was in the midst of the elders and of the four beasts and in the midst of the throne. Why didn't John see the little lamb? I'm going to try to tell you why. I have found it true of me. I would get into a large gathering of Christians, maybe like this morning, and I was looking for this brother. Oh, he's got gift. I was looking from that brother from Washington, one from Pittsburgh, and I was looking from one up at East Freedom, and I was looking for him to get up and minister. I knew that he was great. And all the time, I missed the little lamb. Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever sat back and you didn't actually maybe permit the Spirit to move in your heart? And maybe some little lamb got up and led the people in worship. And he, you know why? He brought the Lord Jesus into preeminence. That Lamb of Calvary. He won my heart for me. He died to set me free. That blessed man of Calvary. And oh, when we're gathered together, brethren, he's in the midst. Don't let's miss him. He's all the glory in the midst of his people. And John spied the little lamb. But the little lamb has power too. Seven horns. Seven eyes. Which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. And oh, I can see him. This is his coronation day. You know what I mean by that, don't we? Maybe if we lived in England, we'd know a little more about it, but it's his coronation day. He is worthy to take the book and to open the seals. And notice, when he came and took the book, verse 7, out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. There, I believe you see the four living creatures first giving the signal to fall down and worship, and the 24 elders fall down before the Lamb. Every one of them having harps, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. They don't pour them out yet, but they have them. A little later on in the Revelation, they pour them out. And notice they begin to sing. You see, it's the redeemed ones that sing. You don't have a song in your heart. I was watching Sammy Davis last night for a while. And I love the Olympics, you know. I love athletics. And he was singing. And bless your heart, I didn't know he could have been singing in tongues, and I would have known just as much as far as intelligent words coming into my mind as to what he sang. Sang about giving the world candy and making them sweet. And, well, bless your soul. You don't have a song if you're not redeemed. Oh, they sing the redeemed. We have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. It's a melody of love. Oh, isn't it a blessed thing to be amongst those who can sing the songs of the redeemed. Oh, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by His infinite mercy. His child. And forever I am. And then, as kings, I believe they praise Him because they're kings. He's made them a kingdom of priests unto God. And as kings, they praise Him. And then I believe as priests, they truly worship Him. Oh, isn't it a blessed thought of contemplating, of hearing Him say at any moment, come up hither, and I'll show you things to come. Brethren, let's enter into these things more fully. And do you know, when this worship starts in heaven, it just seems to, be poured out, and the seven spirits seem to permeate the earth, and even the earth begins to sing. And before the earth begins to sing, we have those multitude of angels around the throne. And the throne there, they are gathered by the multitude. I don't know how many 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of angels, how many that is. But there they are. And there they are saying, they are worshiping the Lamb. And then they are saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, and glory and blessing." Then when you come to the end of the chapter, you see, notice in verse 13, every creature which is in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying. They don't seem to be here possibly connected with those too much who are around the throne. They might even be in the sea. They're in the places of the doomed and the damned. But notice, they will have to say, "Blessing, honor, glory, power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." Oh, he's going to gather. He tasted death for everything. He tasted death for everything when he expired on the cross. And he's going to gather all things unto himself. And there is going to be glory to the Lamb out of the mouth of every creature. It's a good thing that you can now, and I can now, sing glory to the Lamb in freedom and in liberty. Someday you might have to do it even by force. And every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. And yet, be in the regions of the doomed and the damned forever. Don't be afraid of the devil getting a hold of you. No, don't be afraid of the devil getting a hold of you. I hear young people saying, "The devil made me do it." The devil is going to be the most abject, subject creature in hell. And if you are here this morning and you're on your way to hell, you'll have to walk over, as it were, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he died for all men, that all may live. What a pleasure, what a blessing it is to learn to know him now, and especially to know him in your youth, before the evil days come, and you have to say you find no pleasure in them. And he, glory to the Lamb. He once was led as a lamb to the slaughter, but now he's the Lamb that liveth forever and forever. And I want to add my amen. Amen. So let it be. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we thank thee for what thou hast wrought. Thou didst express thy loving heart at Calvary. When thou didst so love the world, thou didst give thine only begotten Son. We thank thee that that love reaches to the lost, the doomed, and the damned. We read of men who now believe not on thy dear Son, and thy wrath already abides upon them.
What will it be,
our God, when it's meted out in all of its fury? Oh, our God, we cry out to men and women today, flee from the wrath to come. We thank Thee for His glorification. We thank Thee for the experience that Thomas had as we read it this morning, as he looked upon that little lamb, cried out, My Lord and my God. Accept of our thanks for the privilege of being under the sound of Thy word. Remember each family that is represented here this morning, and we pray Thee that not one will continue in their sins, but to learn to know what it is to have the forgiveness of sins and the joy of Thy Holy Spirit.